Welcome to Fans of Patrol Lockdown. Just love it, man. Welcome to Fans of Patrol Lockdown. I'm your host, Montego Bradley. Along with me is my stunning and poetic co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How you doing in the middle of the week, Tiff?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm feeling good, man, because it's a bunch of stuff going on right now, man, you know? Right now, man, we are... It's Cinco de Mayo today, so I'm drinking it up and I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I know, try not to be racist here, y'all, but I'm just having a good time with Cinco de Mayo.
I do not condone actions. I'm politely sitting here, but yes, happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody.
You're damn right. It's time to toast it up on the Day of the Dead. So that's one thing we do on the Day of the Dead. And let's see, what else we got going on, man? Yesterday was Star Wars Day, man, you know, so
yeah, it's a lot. A very fake holiday.
Yeah, ma'am. Yeah, that's kind of those only ones we like, Tifflebot. Get out of here. What the hell are you talking about?
Yes, true.
We love the fake holidays, man. So, what do we got? We had a Star Wars Day yesterday, and, did you observe Star Wars Day in any form or fashion yesterday?
No.
Damn. Where's Smooth at, man? I need another co-host here today.
Did you?
Of course. Star Wars, the Disney app had a new documentary on it that had all the, it's on there now, has all the directors from The Mandalorian. So it was like Familiwa, and it was Taika Waititi, John Favreau, and it was, Bryce Dallas Howard and another lady, I cannot remember her name, but they all did two episodes apiece, you know, and they worked as a team. So that was a pretty good documentary because they had a round table with them and stuff. So that was cool. And then I watched the last episode of the Clone Wars, the last season, last episode of the Clone Wars, the animated show.
Okay.
Tifflebot. The last four shows of the Clone Wars animated show. The last four shows, better than all the prequels put together. I mean, I'm not bullcrapping. I mean, it was so good. It was like, damn, emotional. And I was like, damn, this is so much better than Revenge of the Sith. because they tied the Order 66 and the whole thing, you know. And damn, it was good, man. I can't wait to talk to Smooth about it. So, you know, someone who cares.
Yeah, someone who cares. And that's not the... I'm glad that you had a good time.
Indeed.
So, well, like, I don't care.
So toast it up on Cinco de Mayo, man. So anyway, man, what are we doing here today? Oh, so this week, man, we strive to be different on lockdown. And Tiff had a suggestion that we do. What's the name of this movie, Tiff?
Fantasy Island,
you know, right from the 70s. And it is a direct, reboot of that.
It's like a reimagining of Fantasy Island.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing this week, y'all. So, you know, we can get it on and hit the one word. What you got with your one word?
I guess I'll say twisty.
Twisty.
Sure.
I didn't mean to echo. I'm hitting buttons and stuff over here. Twisty, huh?
What's your one word?
I'm trying not to say a phrase.
You only got one word.
Teeny.
Teeny. Oh, like for teenagers.
Yeah, teeny. Very teeny, 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 teeny. And I really...
Yes.
And I mean teeny from the 90s, you know? Not even today's teen.
Sure.
It was like I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was actually pretty good back in the day.
Yes, but the thing, it's not even as scary as that.
Oh, no, it was not scary. Don't even...
Movie isn't... That's the thing. Straight up, if you're looking at this movie, it's kind of... It's been up to its lead up. Its advertising has been kind of like, oh, it's a scary movie. Or maybe you assume... Well, it is kind of...
Hold up, Tifflebot.
Performed that way.
They tried. I'm about to say, they did try to make it scary. They...
Yes.
It's not because they didn't try.
But I also think that, like, maybe you're right. I think maybe it is intended for teenagers because it's probably PG-13 or less.
It's 2020 PG-13.
What's the rating on this?
PG-13, 1 hour 49 minutes.
Yeah.
PG-13.
So, like, it's like a teenager's movie. It is for teenagers.
Now, movie stars Michael Pena, man, my boy. Maggie Q, my old girl. Lucy Hell, never seen her before. Austin, Sowell. Jimmy O. Yang, whose actually face is starting to get familiar. He's starting to be in quite
He's been in a couple things.
Mm-hmm. Got some more stuff coming up. Portia Doubleday. Is that your real name, sweetie? Probably not. Ryan Hansen. And I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. Michael Rooker.
Yes, he is in it.
He is in it. Surprised when I saw the credit for him. Also, Kim Coates. And a lot of people probably don't know who Kim Coates is, but he's been in so many movies as a character actor since like the 80s and stuff. He played the
devil. Who did he play?
He was a devil face. The doctor? No. He was a devil face thug, the leader of the gang. You know, all the dudes, the terrorists.
So he was the one of the guys in the masks.
Yeah, remember? You remember Waterworld? You remember Waterworld? He was the guy with the paper. I got paper.
Yeah. Okay.
He's been around forever, man. So when I saw him, I was like, wow. Sure. And Robbie Jones, who's actually had a role recently, I believe it was on. He's been in quite a bit of stuff, but I think he just had a role in Teen Titans, the live action thing. So he's been here, there, and everywhere. So anyway, man. Let's get this on. So, man, thing starts out beautiful island. Now, let me say this about this this flick. First of all, I watched it on a 4K television, and the 4K was popping. I was like, damn, look at this. It looked so good, man. That island looked great. Yes. I mean, what about you?
Yeah, it looks good. It's a well-shot movie, and, like, it's not, you know, for what it is, it's, you know.
Right, man, so I'm sitting there like, I wonder if they're going to have tattoo on the thing, you know? And I'm like,
Well,
we'll get there.
Not sensitive.
Hey, let's hit
old tattoo, not sensitive. So, no, not exactly.
Let's hit that.
But we'll get there, like you said.
Let's hit those spoilers before I forget. So,
yes.
So, it's a beautiful lady, and she literally says, the plane. I said, get out of here. Nobody says
they say it more than once.
They play
in the movie,
and she has no accent or nothing, so there's no reason for her to talk like that. They play, so she runs in, and there's our intro to one of our favorite boys, Michael Peña. Now, Tiffobot, I have to be honest with you, okay? There's a few things I've got to say about Mike in this movie. First of all, he is no Ricardo Montalban. Man, he just, you know, if you watch the old...
I've never seen Fantasy Island.
Oh, it was Khan, Ricardo Montalban, you know, Khan, you know, from Star Trek. And he was so smooth, and he wore his suits, and he had that rolling accent, and all the ladies loved him, you know, and he just was so cool. All the men wanted to be him. He was just, he was like a Latin James Bond, but better, you know, just so smooth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then I see Michael Peña. He's trying to be smooth, but I swear to Tiffobot, what before he opened his mouth, all I saw coming out of his mouth was, hey, you know, me and my cousin, we went to this thing, and then we turned around, and this girl was fine. She was super fine, super, super sexy fine. And I was like, I just heard the music every time he walked in the room.
Hard to, like, take him out and put him in this position.
But he's doing his thing. We know Michael Peña is a great actor, man. I've seen him play serious, play, you know, whatever, all kind of stuff. So he's Mr. Rourke, man. So, you know, the people get there. Before the people get there, though, they had a scene where this lady was bust into his office and got yanked out of there. She was abducted, right? And, you know, then the plane. And, you know, you're like, what is this crap about? So, you know, the lady is strange that greets them, right? She's like, it's going to change your life forever.
Right, which I think it's, like, supposed to be slightly creepy, but it just makes me, I don't know, I guess it sets, like, an air of mystery.
Okay, sound like Tiffobot liked this movie, but let's keep it moving.
I didn't mind it. I was surprised about how much I did like this movie. Like, I didn't hate it.
Ooh, okay. So. I
didn't hate it.
Okay. I thought it was terrible.
So they arrive on the island, and they're all a bunch of dumbasses, basically.
Well, let's go
except through for the Asian lady.
Let's go through the people, man. So you get the two the two brothers that get off the plane, and and they just smacking five like nobody's business, to the point they even make fun of them slapping five. And I was like, is this a real choice that, you know, that the director made for these? And yes, Tiff, it was a real choice. You know, they was slapping five. They were slapping five, but they looked a little too old to be acting like that, if you ask me. You know, these cats was like later, like 20s, early 30s. You know, if they were like...
Yeah, I think that part of the problem is that I like Ryan Hansen. He is the blonde guy. Mm-hmm. He's from Veronica Mars.
Okay. and you like him.
but Ryan Hansen is I think, my age, maybe. Too old. And I think...
Too old to carry on like that.
Yeah, and I think he's supposed to be playing young, but I do think that his brother...
Mm-hmm.
He was the right age. His name Richard Yang.
Yeah, he was the right age.
He looks so much younger than him.
Yeah, Jimmy Yang, yeah.
To me, Jimmy Yang, he looks so much younger than him that it's almost like he's... kept his hard parting young ways because he's got like a younger brother. I don't know.
It didn't work. So all they slapped sure, fire. It didn't, sure. didn't work at all. And so then the bitch gets off the plane and she's playing that bitch hardcore, boy. We're talking about what was her name? Melanie Cole. And you know, she's just like boring, you know, just doing all the little comments that you would expect from a millennial. The worst of a millennial getting on your nerves, you know, the worst quality. And she's throwing it out. And at first I thought that her and the Maggie Q character played, that was Gwen, I thought they were like, had some kind of relation, like they were vacationing together. But sure. No relation, no vacation. They meet the ladies, say, Mr. Roy can see you in the room. Everybody get their rooms. They come on down and it's time. It was just like the TV show, Tiff. The show was just like this. They would get off the plane. They have some little hula girls putting legs on them and stuff and did a little hula dance. And then you know, the next day, you know, he would, you know, set them off on their things, you know, their little fantasies and stuff.
Well, then there's also Patrick.
Who is Patrick? Oh, yeah, yeah. Patrick
was the war guy.
Patrick was wearing what, dog tags and stuff. And, you know, he seems like a nice enough cat, man. You know, and they go in a hotel. And all of a sudden, you know, old girl just starts trying to throw him the booty, Tiff, like I ain't never seen before. I was like, man, what is it? What the fuck? I mean, Jesus, is he the only one on the plane? I mean, on the island? I mean, she just went immediately, bam, trying to throw on the cheeks. And so I thought that was strange. You know, what's her fantasy going to be? She seemed cute enough and, you know, to get anything she wanted to have done fantasy-wise because it seemed like her fantasy was to have some kind of big screw fest. I mean, the way she was hitting on him. You know. So then we turn out that the two brothers, that is their fantasy. Their fantasy is to have a screw fest and be, you know, popular dudes, like big timers, right? So,
Have that never ending spring break, basically.
Right. And they look too old for that, Tifflebot. I mean,
Oh my gosh. You're being a real me right now.
I'm just saying, Tim. Okay, Tim, let me put it this way. I'm on an island and all that stuff goes down. Okay, I know I'm not like a lot of guys. Some guys don't care. All those girls were so young, man. You know, I'm like, they look like my kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm not partying with them. I wouldn't mind a little, you know, a little mature crowd to be partying with, but still. So they had nothing but supermodels, and then the other brother was gay, and he had nothing but, what do you call those guys? That Chippendale type of guys. All his guys had Speedos on.
Like, I mean, I couldn't tell... Like, so part of the problem with this movie is that I couldn't, that was supposed to be like a joke, like, haha, he's gay, which I don't appreciate, or if he just happened to be gay, but I guess something happens later that you're like, oh, okay.
No.
That's why.
Yeah, you're going too hard on that, Tiff. I didn't feel like it was making fun of nobody. I just think that, you know, he had the supermodels. The only problem, the supermodels had string bikinis and they had on Speedos, and not just the guys in Speedos. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know how sexy I'm feeling, Tiff.
Oh, come on.
Speedos just don't feel sexy to me.
Everybody deserves to have their eye candy.
I guess. So anyway, so they partying up. The party ends, and the next day, the one guy, they start trying to leak stuff, right? The one guy's missing his girlfriend, and the supermodel girl is talking about it, you know. And they had their fun. So the next morning, everybody starts getting their fantasy, right? So who are we going with, Tiff? Who was the first one that they got taken away?
I think the first one that we see.
I think the young girl got taken away first. Because she was talking to Patrick.
Yes. So there's, it's kind of hard. This movie is a little bit hard to talk about because stuff happens at the same time, but you get like little increments of everybody's story.
Right.
Vignettes, and it's all interwoven and eventually comes all together at the end.
Yeah, it's cool though.
But essentially we're introduced basically to the other three fantasies. Patrick, he wants to be a soldier. He wanted to be a soldier.
Yeah, so just go on list. You're still young, punk. I didn't understand it. So
that was one of my problems with this movie was that, like, well, my mom didn't want me to. It's like, well, your mom doesn't control you. If it was really that important to you,
Yeah, but then I guess
you could have enlisted.
I guess as the story unfolds, you could see it probably been a little bit more deeper than that with the husband dying and things. But he didn't get into all that. But the first one was the young girl, and she went and she had a fantasy of finding her bullies that bullied her through school, and you kind of felt sorry for her and tortured them back because she was bullied, and now she grew out of her skin, and she had did something like what did she do? She like wrote all this hate mail to people, and somebody found it and they posted it all over the school, and she was embarrassed of it and stuff like that. So that had happened. So her fantasy was a trip, man. You know, he took him into the two-way glass mirror room, and there was her bully sitting up there tied up, the girl who was abducted in the beginning, Sloan. And oh boy, it was bad. So she's looking at it thinking, at first I didn't feel bad, but I was like, I understand. She think it's fake. So she was just letting the chick have it too.
Right. And this stuff is bad. But the only one that's like super bad probably until the guy comes in is like she had cheated on her husband. And then Melanie posts it to her Facebook.
Right. But the whole time she didn't think it was real though. Well, I don't think.
Right.
You know, she was just like, no. Yeah, let's do this, let's do it. But then when she saw the call happen, you know, she was like, wait a minute, this is kind of real. So then the creepy dude surgeon comes in and he's about to like start chopping off limbs on the girl. She busts the glass and rescues the girl, and they take off and stuff. And so then I think we zips the Patrick's here. And he, like you said, he wanted to be a soldier. This bothered me, Tiff. You are a young dude. Take your ass and enlist, you know. Shit, you at Fantasy Island, your mama don't know about it. Go and enlist.
Right. Like, that one was like, and it was like, so some stuff happens later with his story that also bothers me. Mm-hmm. So Melanie and Sloan escape. And they meet up with
Michael Rooker,
the guy.
His name was Damon, I think.
Damon.
Yeah.
A private investigator who we don't find that out until later.
Because he's just walking around like he's walking around like that guy in Friday the 13th. You're all doomed. All of you kids are doomed. You know, I was like, all he needed is a little hat on his head and a bicycle.
And like he also has a run-in with
everybody.
Well, he doesn't see the two guys until later. But he runs in. He has a run in with the military guy. He kills someone and then he has to run away because the military people show up. But that doesn't really pay off in any way.
Yeah. And then,
there's no point to him having met that guy.
Right. And he's in this thing. He doesn't have a gun. He gives him the knapsack. They take him hostage, you know, acting like they're in Guam somewhere, but they're on Fantasy Island. It turns out that this is his father when he was a little boy, and his father never came home from war, and it messed him up, and that was his fantasy, I don't know, to hang out with his father, to save his father. I don't know which one it was, Tiff, and, you know.
I don't know if, like, so they say in this movie, Michael Pena's character says, like, hey, the only rule here is that you have to see your fantasy out to the end, mm-hmm. and be careful because you don't know. You don't know how your fantasy is going to play out. Mm-hmm. You might want something and it turns to something else. So I guess he kind of thinks like, oh, my fantasy was to be in the military, but I think my fantasy was really to like be with my dad.
Right, which it turned out to be.
So he admires his dad because his dad saved his battalion when they were at war because there was a surprise grenade on a covert mission. His dad threw his body on it and saved his comrades.
Right.
Well, when his dad in this Fantasy Island scenario finds out that that's what happens to him, he doesn't want to do it anymore. He wants to live.
I don't blame him.
Okay.
I don't blame him. Shit. No. Shit. I want to go home. This bullshit. I didn't miss you. You grown?
But that makes his son, Patrick, be like, I always admired you because you are a hero and you can't be a coward mm-hmm. and blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, yeah, but like we find out later that like he was a coward.
Who was
Patrick? Oh, yes. Was a coward.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if it was so important for you that people like you think that he would be the opposite of that he would be brave because his dad was brave.
Well, no,
you know what I mean.
I do, but I can see it being a problem for him if he wasn't brave in his heart. you know, he signed up to be a cop and he, you know, he's supposed to be brave, but when it's time for his medal to get tested, you know, he sunk like a sucker. And then that would just make him feel worse that, yeah, my dad wasn't no sucker. He jumped on a grenade. When I had my chance to jump on a grenade, I sat up there and said the fire people would be, we'll let y'all know what we're talking about in a second. The fire people was going to come, you know. So when he had his moment, he just caved like a punk, you know. I could see that, you know, that's a split second, you know, fight or flight response. So,
right.
Yeah, they get out there and they start mixing it up and fighting, and then lower, you know, it wasn't even that dramatic of a fight. You knew that one of them was going to get their minds changed. So then we got Maggie, man, and she Mr. Rourke had a meeting with her. He didn't know what her fantasy was, thought it was to have a husband and kid. And, you know, then
Gwen.
Yeah, Gwen. Yeah, I said Maggie. Turn out she started having this fantasy, you know, she said yes on a date, then she had a little kid and that was good, and then she was like, I'm about to go straighten it out, so this wasn't it, you know. Her whole thing was regret. She was in a dark place because she, when a fire happened, she didn't step up or she couldn't do what she needed to do, and all this shit starting to fall apart now, Tiff, because the movie is putting this shit together, but I'm telling you, it's falling apart, because this is when I really started was looking like, oh, come on, man.
So you didn't like all the like stupid little twists that they had?
Oh no, it gets to the point where, you know, when how they connected all these people's lives was so stupid. I mean, it was like, what was Gwen supposed to do, you know, be a fireman and axe the door down herself and carry this dude out? No, look at her, she was half naked the whole damn movie, and she's like, what, 5'2", 100 pounds soaking wet, you know what I'm saying? And
right, but she just feels guilty because she started the fire on accident.
Yeah, she started the fire on accident, you know, because she left a pot on. So her fantasy wasn't her fantasy. It turned out her fantasy was that she didn't act, that she was guilty about a fire that she started. So then...
Right, like she wanted to save her neighbor.
Right, so the girls finally get free, right? You know, but Michael Rourke dies, you know, trying to save them. He pushes the staple mouth dude off the cliff. And the guys, the two brothers, are they fantasy get turned to shit because, like, some cartel dudes try to, they said, if you're going to be a big partier, you can't have it big without doing something to make it big. And they just happened to be drug dealers.
Well, it's like they were living in his house.
Right, right, right.
In an old drug cartel house. So the person came looking for him. And they like, where is he? Where's his money? And they were like, we don't know. Because they didn't obviously know that stuff. And then it turns into a big hostage.
Turns into a shootout.
Gunfight thing.
The army guys come around the corner. And they're shooting. And these guys can't die all of a sudden.
They've got, so earlier in the movie... they find out that the source of the island's heart or power is the spring water that makes the wishes come true. But then it also, I think, like makes, so like these people are like water.
It's like,
so the black water was like coming out of their eyes.
Yeah, it was all like garbage, man. It wasn't, you know, everlasting. But when they jump up after, so all the terrorists got killed by the army guys. But then they all pop up, and now they're unstoppable. You can't do nothing. They shooting them. So the brother gets shot, Tiff, you know?
And he dies.
Right, and I'm like, well, he'll be there at the end of that movie. You know, because nobody got killed on Fantasy Island back in the day. You know, but that doesn't happen, man, you know. So the young brother steps up, you know, but even his stepping up didn't help because, you know, he killed a couple of those dudes, but all those dudes got back up, right?
Right,
you know, that was crazy to me. I ain't like that, Tiff. I was like, "What the hell is this?" So then the little chick who was bullied, she takes everybody into the caves where Michael Rourke had took them and wished.
Wait, so before this happened, they think that it is Nick, their dead neighbor.
I think it's Nick.
They
think
it was his fantasy,
right,
to kill all these people because they were his. And then they find out that it wasn't Nick, so they think it's Nick's mom, and they think
right. They thought it was Nick's
Lady
mom.
Julia or whatever her name is Nick's mom.
Right. She wasn't his mom. Maggie Q had this she had this flashback and they were all in the same place. All these people was in the same place except for,
but they didn't know each other.
No. They didn't know each other, but they were all in the same place except for one person. And she which one was that? What was her name?
Melanie.
She wasn't there, but they all saw each other, and you know, it was all going bad. You know, she saw that he was a coward and she went into the room and about to die. But you know what? The lady pulled her out of it. So she didn't die. And so they had this plan to go through the caves and blow up the big diamond rock, right? Because that was going to be the heart of the island and they can end this thing.
Right.
Never happened, man. You know, it was supposed to be scary down there, Tiff, but it was so lame.
No, okay, so some parts fit. And here's the thing. You're right. This movie is not scary. Nothing scary happens in it at all because I can watch it. I watch it by myself and I've never watched a scary movie by myself. Not scary. There is a where... So they walk in this water and there's sea snakes in it, but then the snakes turn into hands and they pull the guy down, but the hands look like shrimps. They look like the shrimp hands from Big Tarantula. What's that fucking movie? Big Tarantula. You know, hey, Mr. Tally, man, what's the fucking movie?
Oh, Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice! Those hands look like the shrimp hands from Beetlejuice when the shrimp cocktail hands come out of the bowl and pull everyone's face down.
Yeah. No, it wasn't scary.
That's what those fucking hands looked like. They weren't scary. They looked really stupid.
No.
And here's the thing. People in this movie keep not dying despite really dumb things that should have killed you happening to them.
Yeah, because Melanie come around the corner with the G.I.
and
Joe.
And stab the shit out of him.
And she's stabby, Tiff. You're absolutely right. Next thing you know, he comes around the corner like, you cut me too deep, Billy. You know, I'm like, he's still alive. Matter of fact, he was underwater. He was drowning. And he got stabbed. And he comes around the corner holding his stomach like he just got, like, punched in it. You know? Right. I'm like, what's the problem?
And so... basically, we find out that Melanie is crazy because her peripheral attachment to the story is that she had one date with Nick.
Right.
She felt like they were going to live a life of happiness together, even though she didn't really know him.
Stalker much?
And they were supposed to meet. They were supposed to meet the night that he died, and he never showed up because he died.
And because
she was taking her revenge.
And here's the other deal, Tiff. How did she know all those people were that intricately involved? How could you possibly know that she started the fire, that she went and called him and he was the cop that didn't go in, and the two brothers were the first ones out the door? And how could you know this? How could you know this? You know, and so that bothered me. I'm like, what? How would you know?
I think you could find that stuff out.
Okay, Tiff. I mean, the brothers running out.
I'll lay it out for you.
The brothers ran out with everybody else. Go ahead. Enlighten me.
Because they were his roommate.
Oh, okay. They was his roommate. Okay.
They were his roommates.
Wait a minute. So why is it their fault? Why is it their fault that his ass stayed in the apartment?
It is their fault. Why? They, like, thought that he was with a girl or something like that. That was the stupidest part of the whole movie. They left him there because they thought he was with a girl. I couldn't understand that part.
Somebody need to beat the shit out of one of the writers.
Work on this.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's their fault. It's nobody else's fault but theirs. And then I suppose if you were looking into a fire, you could say, oh, the fire originated in this apartment. Mm-hmm. And then you could say, oh, such and such officer responded to the call. So you would see all this stuff. However,
go ahead and fix it, Tiff.
In the movie, I'm just saying, in the movie, the officer, Patrick, who wanted to be in the military, said that he got put on desk duty because of an incident, a death he could have prevented. I'm like, I don't think a cop would be put on desk duty for
that,
going into a fire.
No, he wouldn't. No.
I was like, that doesn't seem right to me.
So here's the aha moment, Tiff. So our girl starts, you know what? This whole scene was a total rip off of Urban Legend. You ever see that movie with the Noxzema girl that started confessing that she was a psycho and she was doing all this? You know, she was like, you didn't do this? I was like, damn, this is straight out of Urban Legend. Y'all didn't even try. You know, she was saying what she was saying. Only thing that would have made this better if they would have had Michael Pena come in and all of a sudden, I saw this girl and she was super duper fine. And then it was this hard-hitting cat and he walked around the corner and he hit him with a grenade and he got stabby. It just explained the whole damn movie. Like an Ant-Man, I would have been like, yes. And so she's crazy as hell, right? So what? Rourke decides to get involved because he wasn't, because that was his wife.
His wife convinces him to that.
Right.
You know,
he takes the ring.
That's not what
off,
she wants.
Comes in, she falls into the water, so does the grenade. They pop out. It's like, what the hell happened in this? This was a big messy ass scene, Tiff. I'm sorry. It was messy as hell.
Well, it was Sloane's fantasy for her to get dragged down there.
Yeah, she was Sloane's fantasy.
Yeah, so that's how they did it. Everyone had a fantasy, but Sloane hadn't had her fantasy yet. So she drank the water.
Yes.
I mean, it's all very bad.
Right. So the bully saves the day, right?
Yes.
And so they're leaving. Everything is cool. Everybody's happy. But our brother here, what's his name? Brax? He don't even have a brother no more. He died for real, Tiff. What the hell? Yes. Damn. He was supposed to go back and, you know, tell a girl how he feel. So then the brother gets a big idea and say, you know, I'll stay on the island. You know, he got to serve. He can have a fantasy. His brother go back, brought his brother back to life. And, you know, they were on a plane leaving. Everybody's happy. And all of a sudden, his brother was teasing him, calling him T. And I guess he got a tattoo of the word tattoo.
So that's his name.
So he's tattoo and he's short and he's brown. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you rotten son of a bitch. That was so bad. I was like, oh no.
That's how the movie ends, everyone. It kind of is like, is there going to be another one? And I don't there's a lot of things to understand. Like, if there was another one, would it also be quote unquote scary? Or would there just be some pleasant fantasies? I have a question.
Yes.
I'm assuming you've seen some Fantasy Island television.
I've probably seen almost all of them.
Okay.
Back in the day, it wasn't much on TV, Tiff.
Was there ever a scary fantasy?
Yeah. So it would normally be like three people, right? And so it was an hour-long show, and so there were three simultaneous stories going on at all times. And one of them almost always was a lost love story. And one of them was maybe like a success story. And then one of them was always like something intense. Now, it could have been scary or it could have been just, you know what I'm saying? It was like intense. So it was always like three levels of stories happening at the same time. And then every once in a while, all of them, even the intense one, wouldn't be really intense. It'd just be like, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes some of the shows would be more pleasant than others. Some of them would be more intense. And to be honest with you, the ones that were more intense were better shows, you know. Actually, Fantasy Island started as a feature film. The first one was actually a feature film in the 70s, and then they had the TV show based on the film. But it also starred Ricardo Montalban. You know, yeah, I used to love the show. Kid of the 80s.
I didn't mind this movie.
Really?
Like, I didn't think it was that bad. Like,
okay.
I mean, I guess maybe I went into it with really, really low expectations.
Me too, Tiffle, but that ain't no excuse. I walked into this thing.
So, I'm just saying, I didn't mind it.
I was like,
I wasn't like in love with it. I just didn't mind it.
So I walked into it like, well, this is gonna be a shit show, so it's cool, you know. But it might surprise me. Hopefully, it'd be scary or something. And it, you know, it wasn't happening. And so the beauty of the movie is what got me over. I was like, man, this is looking good on the TV, but. You know, once like the fantasy started coming together, it really, to me, just fell so bad apart. It was like they should have just kept this shit separate and had three different adventures, because the way they put it together was so stupid and lame and just, ugh. It was like, for real? I mean, y'all didn't even try, you know? I mean, I think they did try. Maybe they tried too hard. So I literally was sitting here like, oh, God, please get over. But I will say this. The movie looked good, you know, but I can't wait to forget about this one. So there you go.
All right.
Oh, shit. So we came to do the damn thing. We got it done, Tiffo Bot, you know. So this is a thumbs up from Tiff and a thumbs down from Montego Bradley. The only thing I liked about it was Michael Pena, and that's only because it was my memory of his Ant-Man character. It was making me feel good. Oh, shit. Then I saw Michael Rooker and even Maggie Q, and I was like, man, they got some stars in this movie. Nope. Nope. Anyway, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. This has been our fifth lockdown edition, man. And shoot, we got a lot of stuff going on, Tiffa Bob. We got an interview that's online right now from the Ozarks, Kevin L. Johnson. Check that out. We got another interview that'll be out on Friday of Jesse Camacho from Lock and Key and a lot of other stuff. And that'll be available on Friday. And we'll have our Saturday show. What are we doing? We're doing an episode of the Ozark TIFF, and we're doing we're doing a Michael B. Jordan movie.
You cannot fucking remember the name of this movie for Justice or Justice something.
For anything. I would never remember. Was it Just Mercy?
The fuck is the name of that movie? Just Mercy.
Okay. So we got a big week going, man. So I'm the host of Fancy Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive poet herself, Miss Tibblebot. Say midweek goodbye. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Star Wars Day. Farewell tip.
Yes, happy ever, all of that stuff. It's been a midweek pleasure
indeed. And to my Mexican brothers down in Latin America, you know, arriba.
And oh god,
to the Star Wars fans, may the fourth be with you. And oh, we until next week, man,
be on patrol.